Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. 97.1 FM Talk DGS. Happy Wednesday to you. So a lot of stuff to get to, right? We'll obviously be talking about the first day of the impeachment hearings. But that's not all we're going to do because... You know, I ain't talking about that for so much. We're going to have our friends in from Hardee's and Operation Food Search about halfway through this hour. We have Paranormal Wednesday, a guy who I heard do an interview the other day, a guy from Bigfoot Odyssey, has an amazing story. That'll be on in the 5 o'clock hour. But and also the president has been too busy, so he says, to pay any attention to the impeachment hearings today because he has Erdogan in. Just the world's upside down. And they are giving a press conference right now. I don't give a rat's ass about what he or Erdogan have to say during their prepared remarks. But Tony and Rach are keeping an eye on the TV. And when they go to the questions from the press, because you know they're all going to be about today's impeachment hearings, we'll go to that because that should be must hear radio.
They start talking about it. He starts discussing it. We'll let you know and we'll go to it.
Let me, if you didn't get to hear any of the impeachment hearings today, let me sum it up in one word. You ready?
Yeah.
Idiots. They're all idiots. I'm telling you, as a former lawyer who used to compete in courtroom skills competitions, I saw way better lawyering in those competitions in 1988, 1989 as a kid without a law degree yet than I did today on Capitol Hill. These people are an embarrassment. It is an embarrassment that these idiots get elected and these lawyers are high. The whole thing is so embarrassing. That's just an aside.
And we say that every time.
So we say it every time.
We say it every time.
These are the people.
And they never fail.
They're the people we have. So there's nothing to be done about that other than just trying better next time to vote someone else in. But here's basically how it went. So you have two, and let me kind of get a little bit into the weeds just to kind of put it in perspective from my legal background. What you have today are fact witnesses. Let's say instead of this being diplomats and what do you know about this, the possible quid pro quo deal with Ukraine, let's just say that it was a car accident and Tony and Sue have a fender bender and Rachel and I witness it. And we get called into court. We are fact witnesses. Ms. Zimmerman, what did you see Mr. Colombo do with the red light? And Mr. Glover, what did Ms. Thomas do when this and this? If they asked, so, Ms. Zimmerman, what was Tony thinking at the time? It would be not only objectionable, it would be ridiculous. Mm-hmm. She has no idea what he's thinking. And if they went off on a rant like, well, Mr. Glover, let me just say this. Mr. Colombo needs to pay my client $1 million because blah, blah, blah. Okay.
That kind of has nothing to do with you.
That's really for the jury and the judge. I'm just here to tell you what I know. And that's all I can do. And one of the big Gloverisms, my top 10, is everything lasts too long. Everything in the world, every good thing should be half as long as it is. But the reason it's not is because people are pussies. It's because they don't have any confidence in what they do. Like you, the cross-examination should have been 10 minutes and you're done. Because the first 10 minutes, you're making some points. And me, as the public jury watching it, goes, okay, you made a couple of good points there. You're changing my mind. In hour five, I just hate you. It's like milking a cow for hours after all the milk is gone.
Yeah. 6 hours of these two guys.
And it's two things. It's insecurity. So I just got to keep saying words and just wanting the limelight. All they really care about, All of these monkeys have someone sitting behind them, Monkey Junior, you know, their little assistant. And you know, when they go on break, it's like, okay, how was it? Is anyone tweeting about it? Am I getting any play on CNN? That's all they care about. They're just auditioning to keep their job. I just hate them so much.
Or getting a line recorded for their next campaign commercial.
Yes. Let me tell you, according to Dave Glover, what really happened. I'll tell you on day one of the testimony. Hunter Biden has 0% chance of getting this $50,000 a year job for a Ukrainian natural gas company. 0% chance of getting it without his father being vice president.
Yep.
Because he knows nothing about Ukraine. He knows nothing about natural gas. And he knows nothing about business. The perfect guy to put on your board.
Right.
Right?
For natural
but
gas.
He does have a father who happens to be the second most powerful man in the world. Hunter Biden got that job. Now, it either could be true corruption, or it could be good old-fashioned, it's who you know. Nick Glover will get a better job than Nick Jenkins because he's Dave Glover's son, if it's someone who I know, right? Hey, Jeff Dill, can you hire my son in at something that he's not qualified for as a favor to me? Okay, that's good old-fashioned nepotism. But if it's corruption, which it could be if I were the president or the vice president, now we're talking about something real. I don't know which one of those it is, but he definitely, everyone in the world knows Hunter Biden didn't deserve that job.
He didn't get it on his own.
Yes. I also know this. Donald Trump didn't give a rat's ass about the overall corruption. He wanted dirt on Biden. Let's all just grow up and let's just admit it. This is, and I'll repeat myself from a couple weeks ago when I took so much crap. Obama may not have done exactly this. Clinton may not have done exactly this. John Adams may not have done exactly this, but I kind of agree with Mick Mulvaney. Get over it. This is kind of the way things work.
This is how politics
works. However, two things can be true at the same time. It can be pretty normal standard procedure, but if you get caught, like there's something in radio called plugola, that if someone lets me drive a car and they don't pay me for ads and I'm constantly talking about Skip Weber, that's illegal. I can't do it. So everyone in radio has done it to some extent, but if I get caught, I'm just as guilty and I'm going to get punished and I deserve it. Just because you didn't get caught doesn't mean I don't get caught.
Right.
I think pretty much within 90%, everything that everyone is alleged to have done, from Joe to Hunter to Donald, they did.
But we need to find out which one is illegal. If any of them.
Yes. Yes.
And if one of the actions is illegal, then...
But here's the thing, though.
Let's punish the person for being illegal.
It can all be illegal.
I don't know one.
The fact that, let's just assume for the moment that what the Bidens did was illegal. It doesn't give Donald Trump the right to do something else illegal.
Correct.
And so what we have to figure out is, do the facts support the facts, not opinions? Do the facts support that Donald Trump did something or attempted to do something that is illegal? And read the transcript, forget it. Whistleblower, forget it. This is all about Rudy Giuliani. I've been saying it for weeks, and I'll continue to say it. It's not about this call. We heard today how there was all this stuff going on in the back channels leading up to the call. And then all this stuff going on in the back channels after the call. The call was like 10 minutes of time. It's important, but it's not everything. If it were, it's at best murky, like Condoleezza Rice said yesterday. It's not good, but it's also not hands down evidence. So we're going to have to go through all these witnesses, and eventually we'll go through all these fact witnesses who can tell you this were the notes I took and this and this and this. But when you ask them their opinion, like Radcliffe did, where's the impeachable offense? It's not their job. That is not what they're there for. They're not a victim of rape who's there to say, I have been wronged. They're simply there to say, I saw some of this. Here's what I saw. That's for Congress to decide whether there is a crime and what should happen because of that. But it's going to come down to one of these days, Rudy Giuliani or Mulvaney or Sondland is either going to flip or they're not. That's what it comes down to. Donald Trump is way too smart. He's been doing this forever. Whether you think he's just a hard-punching businessman who's the greatest president we've ever had, or you think he's a criminal. He's been engaging in this kind of behavior his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so good at it that half the people who he has associated themselves with him are now in jail. Right now.
And that's why the Giulianis exist.
Exactly.
To protect him.
Yes, exactly. It's why mob bosses don't do the hits themselves. They're smart. So either Giuliani, Sondland, or Mulvaney will either flip on the president and give him the goods, or they won't. If they don't, we're going to have Donald Trump elected again in 2020. If they do, maybe the Republican senators feel enough heat that they have to vote to remove him from office. I doubt that happens, but yeah, that's my lay of the land of the whole thing. And if you are to me, it's extremists on either side, that if you will not even hear that maybe Donald Trump is not Satan, you're an extremist. And if you don't care what anyone says or any of the testimony, Donald Trump is the greatest man to ever live. I don't know what else to say to you either. But if you're an honest broker on the right or left or middle that calls balls and strikes, then like the Michael Brown case, like the O.J. Simpson case, like this case, you sit back, you watch, you take it in, you judge it the best you can. You know what takes real balls? Voting against your party. Today, they're doing all these votes about procedures, and they're doing the roll call. You know what? Shove it up your ass. You don't need to do a roll call. You know that every Democrat's going to vote this and every Republican's going to vote that.
Right.
I would love to see one brave patriot on anything stand up and vote the other way because they have a conscience.
Two Democrats voted to not go forward with these proceedings.
And those people have balls.
After Nancy Pelosi said that they wouldn't go forward unless it was unless they had strong bipartisan support.
Yeah.
She didn't. It's still the Turkish president. A couple quick headlines from what they've talked about, though, is that Turkey is releasing a couple of prisoners, and the United States and Turkey have come to an agreement to continue the ceasefire in Syria. That's kind of the two.
Here's my question. Why does Turkey have prisoners?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's kind of odd for a NATO ally to have prisoners.
Unless they believe that an American national committed a crime in their country.
So give us a tweet. You can tweet Tony or Rachel, or you can call us at 314-241-9797. Glenn, thanks for holding on. Go ahead. You're on.
Dave, I just think you're off line here with regards to a couple things. Number one, I thought the minority counsel did a phenomenal job.
Oh, he's a buffoon.
Oh, he was ripping these guys in two based on these two goofballs up there. Number two is these guys. Your analogy was two people watching an accident happen. They're trying. You're asking what they think. These guys didn't even see the accident.
Wait a second. Hold on a second.
Accident from somebody else.
That's not true. Let's take some time. Why are these guys buffoons or knuckleheads or whatever you called them? Why are these two diplomats knuckleheads?
Because everything they said was hearsay.
They've
never met the president, had one conversation with the president.
No, that's absolutely not true, Glenn. They were testifying about what they knew, what happened to them, and conversations
exactly.
that they had. And
they were just
go ahead.
They were butthurt because they got circumvented through a different channel.
Okay. Well, I completely disagree.
I mean, that was established during testimony today.
Here's my third point. Here's my third point. I think the Biden deal was ancillary stuff. Trump wants to get to the bottom of the 2016 Russian collusion deal. The Steele dossier originated from Ukraine and all that with Steele. That's what he really wants to get to the bottom of. If you were elected president in the entire 2 years, you're trying to prove that the only reason why you got elected is because of Russian collusion. Wouldn't you want to get to the bottom of it?
I agree with that, which is why if I were the president and I were smart, I would never say the word Biden out loud. What you're saying, I agree with.
I agree with that.
Yeah. If he were smart, he would have just said, I need you to look into corruption involved in the 2016 election because that can't happen again. Done. Period. End of sentence. But pushing for just saying Biden's, could the Bidens be a part of it? Yeah, they could. But I would want to avoid all of this by simply avoiding even saying their names. If they become a part of it, if that's where the investigation goes, then great. But the way he did it, not just during the phone call, but like the conversation last week, friggin' last week, last Friday, for the love of God, he's having these phone calls, according to this witness, whether you believe him or not, I believe him, that the president is still saying things to lead people to say, oh, he cares more about the Biden and the investigation than he does about Ukraine. I don't think these guys, I don't know. I think I have a pretty good BS meter. I wouldn't have believed Michael Cohen if, you know, he told me the sky was blue or Manafort. I think these guys testified to what they knew, but I don't care what their opinion is. I don't care whether they think the president committed a crime. I don't care. Because, again, they're just fact witnesses. But also another thing, a little bit in the weeds, when you say it's hearsay, hearsay is completely admissible in this venue. They are not going under the federal rules of evidence. They're not going under the rules of any kind of a court. So Adam Schiff can let in anything he wants. And so smart people will be able to take something that is truly hearsay. I heard from a guy that a guy said this. But when these guys are testifying that Sondland said this to me, or, you know, people who are going to be called later or have already testified, that's good information. That, to me, is quality testimony that you can then take and say, I don't believe it. Or you can say, I believe it, but I don't think it rises to the level of a crime. But I don't think they're knuckleheads. The attorneys can't be stupid. You can't rise to the level that you are chosen to be the one attorney to represent the majority or the minority, but they seemed awfully unimpressive to me. Quick break, right back with your phone calls after this. Welcome back, 3:30 on the dot, DGS, talking, of course, about the impeachment hearings today. I gave you my opinions. You can agree or disagree, have a conversation about it on Twitter, Facebook, or give me a call, 314-241-9797. Toll-free, 866-455-9797. We were laughing out loud in the studio on the break because we were listening to the president and Erdogan. And, of course, the very first question was about the impeachment. And he said, I'm sure you'll get to hear it later, but he basically said, the call was perfect and it's been analyzed by experts. Pause, such as Mark Levin.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's been analyzed by...
Hannity's looked at this backwards and forwards.
It's been analyzed by legal experts. It's been analyzed by Mark Levin. It's been analyzed by everybody. That was the quote. And when the reporter asked, what are your thoughts on today's hearing on Capitol Hill, he said, are you referring to the witch hunt? And it got big play, big laugh.
Yeah.
So that's where he's at. He called it a sham. We're keeping an eye on it. He's answering some questions now about Turkey and Syria, but I'm sure any minute here there'll be another reporter up.
Yeah, we'll pop it up if there's something good. Yep. Don't worry about that.
Yep.
Paul, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Dave. So I get it.
Thank you, man.
I agree with about 90% of what your synopsis is. I honestly believe that the Democrats aren't doing this to impeach. They know that the Republicans and some Democrats in red sectors are going to vote that the president was doing official government business, and that Democrats and some Republicans in blue states or blue areas are going to say, no, he was trying to do this for his own political gain for his campaign. I believe the intended audience of this whole thing is for the independent swing voters.
Yeah, we
agree. They're targeting those people. I think that the whole entire purpose is that this is targeted people. I mean, hell, if Republicans put up a competent person that said, hey, I'm going to do the exact same thing policy-wise as Donald Trump, but I am not going to pick up a Twitter device ever, I would vote for that person in a primary.
Yeah, no, we're in complete agreement in there, Eric. I completely agree that that's what they're doing. And another thing too, you can tell I'm not a fan of the president. I voted for him. I'll vote for him again if it really comes down to him and Sanders or Warren or whoever. That's because I'm a grown up. But there's no doubt in my mind that the Democrats don't really think that Donald Trump is a danger to the country. It's kind of a compliment to him because they realize that he's going to win because they have jack crap to put up against him. And their platform is ridiculous. They let it get away from him. They went from liberal to socialist to communist in the space of about 2 years. So they realize, the smart ones, that they've gone too far. The horse is out of the barn. America is not going to vote for a socialist agenda. Trump, with all of his flaws, is going to win again. The only possible chance they have is this Hail Mary that maybe maybe Giuliani or Mulvaney or Sondland flip on him and he actually gets impeached, removed from office. 90% he won't. But they'll take that 10% chance because it costs them nothing. And maybe, like Glenn said, they get enough swing votes who just kind of, you know, God, I don't want to vote for a guy that was impeached. Sure, that's why they're doing it. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't think Nancy Pelosi is prayerful. I don't think that Adam Schiff really thinks that Trump is a danger and it truly needs to be removed. This is all about political power, 100%.
Yeah, it just seems like such a misstep to me, though, because if he's not removed, all you've done is effectively take down the front runner with Biden. Because now, how can he go through all of this with his son, and this has been brought to light.
I don't think the Democrats care about Biden.
But it's been brought to light because of the investigation. So then it's between the guy who was almost impeached or was impeached but wasn't removed and Elizabeth Warren. They're diametrically opposed. I don't think that's really going to swing that many independents if they were leaning in one way or the other.
I agree.
In the first place.
That's why I'm calling it a Hail Mary. I don't think that they think they can play the game straight up and win.
I don't think that there are any swing votes left. That is in previous elections, there's lots of them, millions of them, lots of people who kind of wait to the end and try to make up their minds. The two sides right now are so far apart that there is no middle ground anymore. No.
Well, here's the middle ground.
I don't know who the swing votes even
are
anymore.
Here's the middle ground. It's people like me who tend to be much more conservative and Republican, at least in the voting booth, than they are Democrat and liberal,
right,
but don't like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And so,
but you're still not going to vote for a socialist.
Yeah, that's right. Why Joe Biden was the middle ground, and they just eliminated the middle ground.
But
right?
I think there are a lot of people like me who, if you took a 100-question test, would score 98 out of 100 that they agree with my politics. I wouldn't abstain or vote for the Democrat because I think it would ruin the economy and it would ruin my economy. That's what I care about most, me, the Glover family.
Sure.
But I think a lot of people would. There are a lot of people like me who are 50% more pissed at the president. And they're just, I mean, it's a gamble. I think it's a, they don't call it a Hail Mary because it's a good play.
Right.
It's because we got
nothing
else.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. I'm not even necessarily talking about the impeachment. I'm just talking about swing votes in general. I just don't think there is middle ground anymore.
Eric says the whole hearing is a waste of time. It's not going to go anywhere. Scotty says the cost of the Mueller report and impeachment is sure adding up. I agree with both of those things. I don't think this is going to go anywhere. But here's the thing. With criminal investigations and criminal prosecutions, I know from personal experience that a lot of times, look, the Clinton thing, they just happened upon Monica Lewinsky. I don't know if you guys remember this.
Oh,
Rach,
yeah.
You weren't even born yet, but I guess you were.
wasn't that long ago.
It wasn't. This wasn't about Monica Lewinsky.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't
single digits. 15.
It wasn't about the blue dress. It wasn't about sex. It wasn't about an affair. It wasn't about any of this. It was about something completely different, and then they just found it.
Yeah.
And so they are hoping the same thing happens. They're hoping that Giuliani is wearing the blue dress.
It's being asked right now by...
Why don't you pop it up,
about,
is that correct? And can you fill in some more?
I know nothing about that. First time I've heard it. The one thing I've seen
he
that
was just
Sondland
asked about the phone
was
call.
That...
Yeah.
From last Friday.
He did speak to me for a brief moment, and I said, no quid pro quo under any circumstances. And that's true. The other, I've never heard this. In any event, it's more secondhand information, but I've never heard it.
Do you recall having a conversation with
I don't recall. No, not at all. Not even a little bit. The only thing, and I guess Sondland has stayed with his testimony, that there was no quid pro quo. Pure and simple. Yes, please.
And President Erdogan, President Trump sent you a letter on October the 9th.
There you go, yeah.
So what they're talking about, if you didn't get to hear the hearings today, the only new information that they had was Ambassador Taylor said that literally last Friday, one of his aides was at a restaurant with Sondland, who's going to be key here next Wednesday, mm-hmm. and that he could hear the president. First of all, have we just been sold a bill of goods about Independence Day and aliens and like hidden caverns? Seriously, someone can be in an Applebee's and overhear the president speaking on a cell phone?
Yeah.
Is this the level of security we really have? But anyway,
I kind of doubt it.
This aide said that he could hear the president and that he was saying, all I care about is the investigations. I don't care about Ukraine. And he asked Sondland, what did he say? And he said, yeah, he says he just really cares about the investigations more than Ukraine. That's what John Roberts was asking the president. So it's crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's all just... Again, though, my major overall point is this. Two things can be true at once. Taking it again to radio, if I'm engaging in Plugola and I'm driving a Skip Weber Chevrolet and it's off the books, I'm doing something illegal. And if Mark Reardon reports me because he's jealous of me or he hates me or office politics, it doesn't mean I didn't do it. It doesn't mean I did. But just the fact that this could be politically motivated doesn't mean that there's not fire there.
I have a question. Isn't it a little weird that the bombastic Donald Trump, when just asked that question, just goes, yeah, I don't recall.
I don't like it.
That's not how he typically behaves, especially when he really doesn't believe he did something.
Yeah.
He'd be like, no, it's a lie. It didn't happen. It's
witch
hunt.
Thing,
it
too.
Is how he's been behaving this press conference, though, this whole press
You know
conference.
What, though?
But still for him to just go, I don't recall.
Let's be grown-ups. Today at about 10 a.m. our time, the ambassador said, I know of a phone call that happened last Friday, and it was bombastic because it's reported that the president said, I care more about the investigation than I do Ukraine. Do you really, does anyone in this room or this audience truly believe that within a minute of that testimony, someone didn't get that information to the president? If they didn't, then his whole staff should be fired. If this is the Plugola thing with Dave Glover, and 6 hours ago someone testified that last Friday I said something damning, and one of you guys didn't come to me and say, hey, before you go on the air and you're going to get all these questions, you should know that someone just said this.
That's weird.
I hope the president's lying. Because if he really doesn't know what this call's about, then all of them should be fired. How dare his staff let testimony that's going on across the world that all of us know about, yet the president goes into a news conference and walks into a question from John Roberts and no one has briefed him on the fact that someone testified about a phone call last Friday? I don't buy it. Welcome back, guys. A few minutes shy of 4 p.m. Let's talk about something good for a change. Talk about something positive and helpful. Last year, we took over a campaign for Hardee's and Operation Food Surge from another radio station and raised $75,000. You guys raised $75,000. And we're doing it again this year. It kicked off Monday. It's going to go through Christmas. And I have Tony here from Hardee's. Good to see you. How are you?
How you doing, sir?
And we have Judy, our beloved friend from Operation Food Search. Great
Hello.
To see you again.
Oh, it's so nice to be back.
So I haven't seen you since last year's campaign, and the last show we did was such a whirlwind and people coming in with big checks and hugs all around. Thank you for allowing us to take part in this, because it's one of the best parts of this job is to do things like this and realize, like, wow, that really happened. Like, how many people did that feed?
Well, it's pretty amazing. Just a couple of things to think about. That was enough. The $75,000 was enough to feed 2,500 people for 1 month.
Wow.
Like, think about that. That's awesome. Remarkable. So yay to
Incredible.
You, but yay to the community and yay to Hardee's to be able to have this happen. It was enough to be able to add a large school to our Operation Backpack program.
Man,
that's enough.
That puts in perspective.
For 357 kids to have a backpack of food to get them over the weekend nutritionally for a whole school year.
Wow. You guys should be so proud of
yay
yourself out
for
there.
You.
So here are the basics. Between now and when? What's our last date? Do we know?
I believe it's the 19th. December 19th
okay.
is our final broadcast out in Chesterfield.
Go to any Hardee's. They should ask you, hey, would you like to donate to Operation Food Search? If they don't, tell them you want to. It's $1 to get the DGS 2020 sticker. Hopefully you'll give more than $1. They'll certainly take it. And then at our events, three live shows and two remote appearances, you can get the hat, which is awesome. I think it's so much better than last year's. And the DGS buttons, the hats are 20, the buttons are 5, the stickers are 1. You guys were very, very generous last year, obviously. So you feed people.
We feed people.
Yeah, you feed. I mean, there's to me, I love Alzheimer's Association, cancer research, but there's nothing more direct and today and immediate than putting food in the belly of hungry people in our community.
Especially, we really concentrate on kids and teens and their families. And so what better thing to make sure that our kids have all the food that they need to thrive?
Yeah.
They're a future. And it's not only the future, it's right now.
Tony, good for you at Hardee's for jumping in on this and making it all happen. What's new at Hardee's?
We have a Southwest menu right now. We actually, for breakfast, you come in and get a Southwest biscuit. It has jalapenos, bacon bits, cheddar cheese, or you get a burrito. And then for lunch, dinner, you come through and get the Southwest Patty Melt, which has grilled onions, jalapenos, Santa Fe sauce. It's just fantastic. And Rachel, you can still get your chicken bowl.
Yes. I was worried that
you'll have
you had
it Friday, I'm sure.
I think I speak for everyone on the show that last year we spent a lot more time at Hardee's than we're used to. And each and every one of us was like, damn. I forgot how good Hardee's was.
No kidding. Literally, the only thing I don't like about Hardee's is there's not one right by my house. Because the food is legit. It's so good.
And they do a dang good chocolate shake, I have to say. Yeah. I had to get one of those on Friday, too.
It's perfect. I mean, we're not asking you to run a marathon. We're asking you to eat burgers.
Yeah.
You know? Here's an excuse.
And give one extra dollar
to help someone
else eat this holiday
season. If everyone listening right now went through and gave $1, we'd be done tomorrow.
Right.
We'd have $100,000 tomorrow.
That's right.
I know how it is. Having a family and having kids and it's texting, what do you want? Blah, blah, blah. Just make the decision. Just go through Hardee's, get a bunch of burgers, get whatever they want. Be generous. Give the money. Get the sticker. It's just easy.
Tony, I'm at Hardee's, I'm sure you guys, being as big of a company as you are, get hit up to be a part of tons of different charity organizations. What about Operation Food Search? Like, why this partnership is the one that is right for you?
So for us, it's our 16th year partnering with Operation Food Search. And I've been with Hardee's 16 years. So
that's awesome.
I've been part of it the whole time. And Judy's been on
eight years.
So for us, and I think it's our customers too, you know, just understanding the organization of Operation Food Search and understanding what it does for not just inner St. Louis, but all the communities around. It's just not here. It's Franklin County, Jefferson County. It's all over. It impacts
Illinois individuals
at home, right at the roots, just feeding the kids and taking care of those people. And we couldn't be more proud to be back, have a platform here with Dave and 97.1. We're just blessed to be able to do that.
And, you know, it's one of those things that we're all inundated with stimulus all day long, and everyone has their hand out, and everyone's got to GoFundMe to, you know. But when you really make the connection that these are real human beings, and it could be you next year, you know, there's really very few people who are more than a couple of bad things going wrong, and now you're having trouble feeding your family. That hungry people, we're not talking about, you know, I wish I had more food. We're talking about I don't have enough food. I don't have enough nutrition in my body to run my body. And so tell people specifically the backpack. When I hear that, what does that mean? What do you do for the kids?
So what we do for the kids, we're in 54 school districts on both sides of the river. And we noticed about 14 years ago that a school nurse told our executive director at the time that kids were missing Monday or they were coming back just achy and hurting. And she started weighing the kids. And she noticed they were losing weight between Friday and Monday. And so Sunny did a lot of research and she came up with a backpack program. And we provide a bag of food, a backpack, every semester with a can opener, a really good can opener, and toothbrushes and toothpaste. And it's a bag of food that's shelf-stable, non-perishable, and it's enough for a child and to share with the family for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and once a month we give them a little bit more food for the whole family to have, too.
That's great. So we've set a goal of doing $100,000 this year.
What?
We have until December 19th, but don't wait on it. I would love to do $10,000 by Monday.
Yeah.
I think we can come out of the box really strong. Just everyone go out there, go to Hardee's.
This is what he does.
Yeah.
I'm just standing here waving my hand, just literally saying, what?
I think we can get 10
grand. This is
what
Dave does. Yeah. So, and the audience usually comes through.
So we're going to kick off our first live show this Friday. That's the 15th at the Hardee's Mid Rivers. We were there last year. I think we kicked it off there last
year. I think we did.
We had so much fun at Mid Rivers last year. We had people just show up and come get something to eat, watch the show. I think we played Halfwits. It was a blast. We would love to see you there. Please come make a donation. Get your beanie.
Also, one more thing. Mm-hmm. Last year at the last show, we had several people, businesses, individuals, show up and give checks between $500 and $8,000. Let's not wait until the end. I know it's dramatic, it's fun, but if you drop off a check from your company or your organization or you personally, and you would like some promotion, we'll give you promotion. If you give us a check for $500 or up, we'll make sure everyone in the Glover family knows that you did that. So this Friday, you guys will be there.
Absolutely.
And then we will be out 4 or 5 more times. We'll tell you each time we're going to be. And these hats are going to go. There will be a line out the door. So if you want them for a gift or for yourself, be there early this Friday at Mid Rivers Mall. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you
so much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.